Hey everybody, this is Henry Bourne alongside my good friend.
I'm Chad Jamison.
And as always, yes, this is the Muni Pros podcast. We are currently experiencing a little bit of a Thanksgiving hangover. As far as that's concerned, I've had way too much turkey, way too much stuffing.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So we're getting back in the swing of things, getting back in a routine just for Christmas to come right back around the corner and ruin those said routines. But exciting week in the golf world, or 2 weeks for that matter. You know, we're going to jump right back into our, you know, our picks from last week, and more importantly, the RSM Classic. The reason I say picks is because a certain somebody happened to get the dub.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Cheddarbug finally got one right.
Finally. I got the first one right.
I don't recall.
Oh yeah. What's it, 4-3 now?
It is 4-3 now, and Chet had the outstanding pick of Taylor Gooch.
Yes, sir. Now, this pick, I feel like, has been waiting to happen because we've been picking him quite a bit.
We've been picking him all quite
because he's been up there.
A lot. Like, he had a good stretch. I know the tournament before the RSM Classic, though, he actually was kind of in the running there after a Thursday 65, and then Saturday he had a pretty bad day, plus three or four. So, you know, kind of coming into the RSM Classic, I don't think anyone really thought. I mean, yes, he was trending, but coming off a bad week, is that going to translate to another bad week? Or, you know, nobody knows. Like, we talk about that all the time. Golf, you never really know. But, you know, Taylor Gooch, without the Y, by the way, which apparently has some fun fact about why his name is spelled T-A-L.
Yeah, it's his mom just likes to spell them with unique, like, in a unique way.
Oh.
And yeah, that's what he said, I think, along those lines. I watched it live, and that's what he mentioned. But so they asked him, because they're like, sir, are you going to continue this with your kids? He goes, heck no.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, because think about like what his high school pronunciations might be on a roll call or an assembly.
Taller.
I think it would be like Taller.
Taller.
Talor.
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 Talor, probably.
Talor sounds like a Game of Thrones character.
Yeah.
But my main thing with Taylor Gooch winning last week is, and this especially this fall wraparound season, I feel like we've seen a lot of young guys, and by young, I mean not like 18, 19. You know,
you mean
23, 24, 25. Yeah. It's been a big wraparound season for them in that aspect. We've seen Taylor Gooch.
Mm-hmm.
I know Sam Burns, he had a couple okay finishes. I think he was top 10 one of the fall wraparound tournaments.
Yeah. Didn't he win?
He might have won, yeah.
I think he won.
Like I
said. Yeah, he did.
Thanksgiving hangover, folks.
Yeah.
But, you know, we see Sam Burns. So you have, we have this whole array of young guys who, without a doubt, have built some confidence going
right
in. Because, yes, this is considered the beginning of the season, but most casual fans, and heck, even most professionals, I think, don't count the season started till the tournament of Century of Champions,
mm-hmm.
or the Century Tournament of Champions.
Yeah.
I'm dyslexic, okay? But, so, you got all these guys coming in. Now, I think Sam Burns, I think Taylor Gooch, I think even some guys from the summer who had some big moments. Now, they're not
right
as young, but I think Russell Henley.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to see some guys who have built some confidence up in this wraparound, and I think it's going to be a really fun season to watch, especially, and we'll get to this, because, you know, Tiger's not playing.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that. But
yeah.
So it's a wide open field, right, Chet?
Yeah, for sure. I think there's a lot more on the table for these guys to go after. Especially with these kind of, I guess, late tournaments or after the FedEx Cup, you know. There's not as many of those players that everybody wants to see, you know, because they're just using this as a time off.
Right,
you
yeah.
know,
Spieth had a baby, JT's
right, yeah,
watching basketball.
Awesome. Yeah. Oh, he got engaged. He got engaged.
He did get engaged.
That's a big thing.
Yeah. He's got perspective.
Right. So, yeah, it's all about these newer guys, not necessarily younger guys like you keep referring to, but it's just a lot more opportunity for them, which is great. I love to see, you know, all the talent that's available. that people don't really think about, you know, the just occasional watchers of golf or viewers of golf don't really understand how competitive the PGA Tour really is, I feel like, just because once you get in the middle of the season, there are these constant guys that are showing always up there at the top, you know.
You're John
it's
Rahms.
Like, which of the top 20 are going to win this week, you know? So it's very rare in the middle of the season to see these newer guys win. And I love to see it. Right now, I guess you could say it's off season. But yeah, so that's just my take. There's a lot more opportunity.
Yeah,
for
there
guys.
Is. And well, as we know with golf, the main thing is if you're swinging confidently and you have a good finish, a good tournament, it can literally be make or break because you know how fidgety golf is.
Right.
So, I mean, one confident takeaway from a tournament and you're going into the next tournament and you know what you have to do. I mean, you just
exactly.
But I think it's going to be a really exciting season. You know, this time of year is really hard to get hype for golf. It's kind of hard to just, you know, it's winter, you know, especially in Ohio right now. I mean, it's cold. It was raining on the way here. Yeah. I mean, it's supposed to snow in a couple days.
It's disgusting.
So as far as golf goes, I mean, there's a reason none of those top players play. And but at the same time, it wouldn't hurt them to play.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we did see some big names play on a couple tournaments.
Right.
But I'm definitely excited. But the other big thing with this time of year, they usually do some gimmicky stuff. And by gimmicky, I mean the match. I think we have – you like that segue?
I did. Lost me in the first half.
Yeah, I brought it back.
You did. I love it.
I take the fans out.
That's
and
right.
And then, you know, I'm like, just they're like, where's he going with this? I thought this was a golf. And then I bring it right back. But no, I think this is our – this Brooks-Bryson match was the sixth edition. You know, we had
– six, really?
Yeah, I don't think some of them were officially the match. I don't know.
Are you taking into account like the 2v2s?
Yeah, like the Matt Wolf, DJ, Rory, Ricky one.
Okay.
I may be wrong on this. There might actually I read that there was six the matches. I don't know if they're taking into account those 2v2s they did during the pandemic just to boost viewership or whatever they were, you know. Or, you know, if it's there actually were six and I'm just getting really old and can't remember.
Yeah, I'm the same way because I don't remember there being six just one-on-ones.
I remember the first one. I remember the Tiger Phil. Then they do they did the Tiger, JT, Rory, Justin Rose.
Right. That's right.
I don't know if that was
Big Cedar Lodge.
That was at Payne's Valley.
Payne's Valley. Yeah. Well, Big Cedar Lodge is, yeah.
Potato, potato, chat.
Same difference.
But
which we need to go play that course.
I know. I want to play the Tiger Tees too.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Exactly. I mean, who wouldn't?
I mean, that's the point. But this, you know, that's what this time of year they usually have something like that. They are fun to watch, but we're going to really dive in here. So, firstly, as we were both very happy to see.
Yes.
Brooks won 4-3.
Yep.
You know, what were your thoughts?
I loved it. I just loved it. Because right off the first tee, I texted you about this. You said you weren't watching. I said the cringe is already starting.
Well,
before they even teed off. So Bryson went first. Bryson went first. And there was a crowd around the first tee. Bunch of people there just hanging out. And Bryson, you know, they're mic'd up and everything. And Bryson just goes, well, before I want to get started, you know, I just brought out some gifts for some people out here, you know? They're like, what'd you bring, Bryson? Brought some Brooks cupcakes. They're cupcakes with Brooks's face on them. He goes, you know, if Brooks wants the last one, he can have it. And Brooks is over there just, like, shaking his head.
What's
the
going
point of that?
For?
I don't know.
I mean, is he trying to call Brooks a cupcake?
Like, ooh.
I mean, that's the only way. That's the only connection I can see.
My thing is that he's just doing it for attention, you know, because that's all Bryson's good for is he just strives for attention.
Exactly. And look, we just were talking about the off season, right?
Yeah.
How are you going to have a match against your rival, someone that we're going to assume they don't like each other?
Right. I mean, there's still some hate.
We know Brooks doesn't like Bryson. Right. Bryson, who knows, man? I mean, I don't know.
Dude, it...
But, oh, man, I lost my train of thought. I had a thought, and it was good.
Try to get you back on track.
Yeah, there's the gravy. There, that's...
he's just asking where he was going with those cupcakes.
Oh, right. I mean, I don't think that brings... I mean, you're not getting in Brooks' head by doing that.
No.
If you're calling him a cupcake, that's pretty much like the equivalent of in third grade when I, you know, would call somebody like a, you know, crap on a cracker or something.
Right.
You know, like, so it just seemed very elementary for him to, and then for him, you know, we talk about the off season, and he's doing all this speed training and you're missing putts. And how are you going to say, I haven't played golf in 2 months? He quote unquote said, I haven't played golf in 2 months. Now, first of all, and then of course he follows up with, you know, no excuses.
It's like,
that's an excuse.
Then why even say that? So once again, it's for attention. He just loves everybody looking at him.
I don't know. And what I wish we could, you know, flip, like roll a dice and go to an alternate reality. I would love to see what Bryson would do or what he would say had he won.
Because that's true.
I mean, look, I had it on. I saw Brooks was, you know, dominating. I turned it off. I don't know what Brooks did when he won. I'm sure he, you know, had some smiles. But I don't think Brooks cared at all. I don't think he wanted to be there.
No.
I mean, he played good golf. I'll give him that. He hit some shots, but it wasn't.
Okay, yeah. Well, we got to go off of I'll talk about it later.
No, dive in.
So, Brooks, we have to address, too, that he signed with Strixon, a full bag in Cleveland, obviously, for wedges.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Look at Cheddar Bug.
But one thing I saw, I watched basically the entire thing. I don't think he hit a fairway.
You're talking Brooks?
Brooks.
Every time I saw him hit a tee shot, it was...
Like, I legit don't think he hit a single fairway.
And Wolf Creek is not... I mean, it's a hard course.
But for those guys, it didn't look that difficult.
It's certainly a hard course. To us, it would be a professional-level golf course.
Right, yeah.
But to them, I mean, there's a reason they don't really play a golf tournament there, but they do the matches there.
Right.
Because it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And
very aesthetic.
And, I mean, it presents a challenge to them, but they're still not getting... They're not having a 13 on a hole because they miss a fairway. It's not like they're playing Bethpage Black.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the announcer, or maybe it was Phil or one of the other guys, or Chuck. Yeah. Which I love Chuck in these matches.
Oh, we got to talk about Chuck and Phil.
Yeah.
For sure.
Somebody asked him, they're like, so how you liking the new clubs? And he just said, this driver's amazing. He's like, I love this driver. And I was like, you haven't hit a fairway. Like, he was just like, he would go one extreme to the other. It'd be a block push or just a straight pull hook.
Yeah. And
it was weird. I don't know.
The other thing I don't get is with some of these players. Yes, Brooks has been in a slump, but you won 4 majors with the clubs that you currently own. It's like when Justin Rose won the FedEx Cup and immediately switched to
Hanma. Yeah.
And then what happened to him? He fell off the face of the planet till a Thursday Masters in 2021.
Yeah. That's right.
You know, so I just it seems to me sometimes these players are making, I mean, I know it's because of money.
Well, yeah.
Obviously. But at the same
time, to go from TaylorMade to Strixon, I mean, it's got to be money.
Yeah. I just don't get it. I just don't get how if they want to do what's best to win, or they're, I mean, it's a fine line. And that's where the PGL comes in too.
Mm.
Are the players going to pick money, or are they going to pick legacy? And
right.
And we
know what Tiger's answer is.
Oh, we're going to talk about it. Yeah. Don't you worry, Cheddar.
We got so much to talk about. But yeah, back to this match. Brooks, he's still... honed it in. I mean, even though he was spraying his driver a little bit, he was hitting great shots.
His iron play looked pretty decent.
Yeah, and honestly, shout out to his brother who was on the bag, which he was pretty good.
He was an unexpected star for sure.
Yeah.
And that is the one bright side to these matches. Yes, I do think they're gimmicky. Obviously, I enjoy them. I'm a golf fan, especially, you know, the ones that involve Tiger. But I think I really enjoy just hearing the banter
mm-hmm.
between the caddies, and that's the one thing that the broadcast just doesn't do. I mean, give me Jordan Spieth, give me JT, give me all those guys talking with their caddy over a shot, because
right.
I mean, that's where as a serious golf fan, that's where I'm going to learn something.
Exactly.
I'm not going to learn anything just hearing, okay, 7 iron from 195. Okay, first of all, what?
Wait a minute. That ain't human.
Second of all, I mean, it just shows them hitting the shot. I want to hear them talk about the lie, wind, where.
It's because they paint this picture beforehand and then they actually pull it off. So it's, I don't know if you've seen the movie 7 Days in Utopia. I think that's what it's called.
I don't think
it's a golf movie. It's actually pretty good.
Wow, I didn't. Yeah, I mean,
it's
I've
about a professional golfer who falls off and gets angry, and yeah. Anyway,
sounds like, is it a Spieth biopic?
Anyway, this guy talks about, so like this guy ends up on a ranch somewhere and meets this guy who built this course out of a horse pasture, and talked about golf and how it's just a lot more than golf, and he uses see it, feel it, and trust it. That's what he says. So first, see the shot. And there's a scene in this movie where he says, okay, this is your lie right here. Puts the ball down right behind the tree, kind of, and it's like probably 20 yards away from the green off the right side behind a tree. And he's like, all right, I want you to see it, feel it, and trust it. But you're going to paint a picture of how you're going to hit the shot. Legit, paint a picture. And so he paints the picture. He goes, then I want you to... So you see it, and then you're going to feel it, and then you're just going to trust it. So he was done painting this picture after, you know, quite a while, and sets it aside, picks up his wedge, and hits this hook pitch shot and makes it. So it's just like there's, I mean, obviously it's a movie.
Sure.
It's
sure.
a movie. But at the same time, there's a lot of truth there, because you do have to visualize these shots. Or else you're in the middle of your swing and you're second guessing yourself.
Exactly.
And then, you know, you're going to play a draw. But, oh, top of my swing, oh, you know, I'm going to double cross and hit a slice.
Yeah, I mean, and
so
we can tell immediately. I mean, I can tell usually when I'm over a ball and I get to my backswing, I can tell if it's going to be a good shot or not just by, like, how it feels. I mean, I can tell. And this isn't always true. Sometimes I hit it thin and it still works out, you know?
But right.
I think, you know, there is a lot of truth to that. And I want to hear them paint the picture.
Right.
Because they do. And
yeah, and they're good at it.
I don't know what the numbers mean. I don't know what 146 to the front, 148 to the back. Like, I know what it kind of means.
You know what it means.
Like, yeah. Okay, look, we don't need to insult my intelligence, Chet.
I'm encouraging your intelligence because you do know what it means.
I do.
You played college golf. You probably did that.
Are you kidding me?
You didn't?
I didn't even have a laser on the course, Chet.
Oh, my.
I was all feel. Ask Brock.
How'd that work out? Sorry.
Yeah, it worked out the same. It worked out for you, big boy. We're sitting here on a Wednesday night doing a podcast.
Got injured, yeah. Yeah.
I can't move my ribs, or, you know.
That's not different.
Yeah, that was a basketball injury. We don't even talk about it. And yes, folks, it is still going on. I know we talked about it 2 weeks ago, but so the other thing I want to talk about, the format for this match comparatively to the others was 12 holes.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense of entertainment, I think it's a great idea because it's not 4.5 hours. Now, granted, right. It's only two players there and there's gimme, so it's not going to be that long of an 18-hole round anyway. But 12 holes, it's short. It kind of shortens it up for the broadcast. It just gives them a little bit more of a freedom to do some things with the broadcast.
Right.
But I would rather, especially with a rivalry like this, I would much rather see it go an 18 holes.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I
go ahead.
Sorry. I just feel like it's not a true golf match if it doesn't go full 18, you know?
Yeah, he lost, what, 4-3?
Yeah.
So.
I mean, it was a beatdown, but.
It was a beatdown, but.
In 12 holes, but still, at the same time, you never know what could happen.
We've seen the Ryder Cup, you know? Yeah. I mean, we don't know, and you don't know anything can happen.
You think that was in the back of Bryson's mind? Now, I don't know if he, you know, suddenly subtly. Am I saying that right?
Subtly, yeah. Subtly. But it's spelled weird. It's like S U B.
Yeah. Mentioned like the shortened match. I don't know if he did or not. I didn't watch the end, but
yeah.
If I mean, I'm sure he was thinking about it just because he lost, you know, 4-3 in 12 holes, and he was probably, you know, bragging, oh, I could have brought it back, you know.
No, he couldn't. No way. He hadn't played golf in 2 months.
Yeah, no excuses. Yeah.
So overall, I mean, what do you think the match needs? I mean, I think that they're onto something. I think it's definitely something non-golf fans can buy into. But I mean, what could they do to make it more appealing?
I think sell more tickets to the matches.
Well, first of all,
allow spectators.
Get some spectators in there.
Yes,
I would agree. If they're gonna do spectators, though, I think it's got to be 18 holes.
I agree, 100%.
I think
I'm with you there.
Yeah, we're on the same page there.
Yeah.
My thing, I think that would add to the matches is you have the marquee Brooks Bryson, right? So in front of them, you get Nelly and
that's a great idea.
Danielle.
Right.
And then or like
or the sisters.
I'm thinking women, yeah, Nelly and Jessica. I'm thinking LPJ to incorporate them.
Yeah.
Or you get maybe like a rematch of the USAM. I mean, you have a lot of options.
Ooh.
But get a opening group to kind of just follow in the dead time when those guys are, and then also, I mean, you got that gives the announcers more to talk about, and I just think one group leading the way, and I really think the LPGA should be the ones that get to put that
together. I agree. I 100% agree. The LPGA on that would be awesome.
I 1,000% would watch a Nelly Jessica match or a Danielle Kang, Lydia Ko, or I mean, I'm naming the four women I'm madly in love with, but. Right. You know, even if you get an older group, if somehow by the grace of God you could pull Lorena Ochoa out of retirement and get Annika Sorenstam in there,
ooh.
I mean, come on,
be a classic.
I'd watch that over Brooks and Bryson.
Heck yeah, dude, that'd be awesome, dude. I don't know why I just thought of this, but imagine if the PNC father son was match play.
I know it would be incredible. Unfortunately, when is that? That's coming up.
It's soon.
Yeah, it's got to be. It's usually closer to Christmas, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean...
But yeah, that would be really cool to see the LPGA Tour be incorporated in that as well.
And that's only going to help the LPGA Tour. I mean...
It'd help views, too.
I can tell you this much. If you had a Nelly Jessica match and you texted me, like, Brooks brought cupcakes, I'd be like, I saw. You know, because I was watching.
Yeah.
And it's not that I don't care about watching Brooks or Bryson, but 12 holes, I just wasn't... Plus, it was Black Friday, and I was 100% in a food coma. You know, I still could barely move. So, I think they're on to something, but they haven't gotten the formula quite right. And
right.
My stance is the LPGA is what they need. I want some of those. And even it doesn't even have to be like a marquee Brooks and Bryson. You could have an LPGA player versus a PGA Tour player and an LPGA Tour player versus... I mean, get JT versus... I mean, you get Nelly, the best women golfer in the world right now.
Versus Jordan.
Oh, my gosh.
Dude.
And I, what's crazy is I genuinely think it would be a good match.
It would be a fantastic match.
Yeah, because...
I think she'd put a... I think she could beat him. I mean...
Look, right now, I think
she's
good. She could beat a lot of guys.
A lot of guys, yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
she's...
Yeah.
I don't know what the heck she's doing, but
she's
just keep
got
doing
confidence.
It.
Out the roof, man.
Well, yeah. I mean, she's won like what, 4 or 5 times this season.
Yeah, it's
incredible. Is this the first time we've talked LPGA on this podcast?
I think we have. We need to talk more about it.
Well, we can always talk about Nelly. But that's kind of where I stand on that whole of the match. I think it's fun, but they're missing something, and I think they'll figure out. But the last thing with the match and the best part of this year's edition, Phil Chuck. Phil Mickelson and Charles Barkley. You know, we talked about it, I think, when Jesse and Grant were on, right? That Phil, you know, what's he going to do in retirement? Is he going to announce? And I think that's exactly what he's going to do.
No, I agree. He was thriving.
I mean, that is what he lives for.
Yeah. He loves sharing his knowledge about the game and all that he knows because he has a lot of great knowledge. You know, he's the short game king.
But I also think with him is he puts it in a way that a casual golf fan can understand.
Yeah, right.
It's just casual talk to him because, yeah. I mean, granted, he's been doing this forever.
Right.
But I think he's really good. And then you got Chuck, who just loves the game.
Yeah.
He just loves golf.
Dude, he's just enjoying the moment there.
And
it's great.
He eats it up. And
he loves being there for the relationships more than anything, which I think is fantastic. You know, we need more of that.
Yeah, he's great. He made the match enjoyable.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and with Phil and Tom Brady and, you know, that match.
Oh, yeah, Big Sky.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, and then JT was the on-course announcer, which was great.
But oh, that, I forgot about that.
Because him and Chuck were going back and forth.
That might have been one of the ones that counted as the match,
probably.
Didn't it?
Probably, yeah.
They really got to come up with a better name.
The match. But, yeah, anyway, I love Chuck as an announcer in golf, man. It's great. Like, he's definitely improved his swing.
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
Like, it's not the same person swinging the golf club.
Oh, it's definitely not. No. Doesn't have that crazy hitch.
I mean, dude, that was wild. Here's the thing about that, though. Someone that bad, you know how you get better and you get to where Charles Barkley is? It's not practice. It's be rich. Because you can practice anytime you want. You can pay. I think he was meeting with Hank Haney.
Oh, my God.
I mean, come on.
Jeez.
So, okay, I'm getting fired up.
Yeah.
So you got to be rich. But, no, I really do. I think in regular tour broadcasts, if Phil's not playing and you can try to manage to get him on, bring him on for a day. Bring him on for a Saturday. Bring Chuck on. And I don't know. Chuck never is on.
No.
That's what I thought. Okay. I mean,
because he's doing NBA.
Oh, that's right. Did Charles Barkley play basketball?
Yeah.
For who?
Didn't he play for the Suns?
I'm just kidding. Yes, I was testing you on that one. I
was say.
That's a little before your. I mean, it's before my time too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised I knew that because I don't follow NBA.
I only.
But Charles Barkley is a huge name, so.
Yeah, no ring though.
Whoops.
Sorry, Chuck. Maybe get that handicap down a little lower. But let's jump to another big hot topic here on the PGA Tour. Not really the PGA Tour, just the golf world. The Premier Golf League, and I read the article, but it's still not real clear as to what is official. But from what I read is they officially have commitments for an official tournament. And I believe it's the same weekend as the AT&T Pro-Am, which Phil always usually plays in.
Right.
DJ always usually plays in. Spieth is playing in, but I saw Phil and DJ are two of the players that have committed to this PGL, PGL golf tournament.
Yeah, so I have the list here.
Oh, look at Chet.
I knew I had it somewhere. You got Abraham Anser. I'll just go through the big names. Rafael Cabrera-Bello, Paul Casey, DeChambeau, Duffner, Fleetwood, Sergio Garcia, Terrell Hatton, DJ, Jason Kokrak, Shane Lowry, Graham McDowell, Phil Mickelson, Kevin Na, Joaquin Niemann, Louis Oosthuizen, Ian Poulter, Xander, which is a shock to me, Adam Scott, Heinrich Stenson, Harold Varner, Jonathan Vegas, Bubba Watson, and Lee Westwood.
Did you say Heinrich?
Heinrich Stenson.
It's Henrik.
Henrik Stenson.
Yeah. It's okay, Chet. My name's Heinry.
My bad.
That's a lot.
But yeah,
that's more than I thought.
A lot of big names, which is crazy. I mean, and the PGA Tour increased all their purses and everything too.
They have to at this point.
No, they already did.
Well, no, I.
Oh, you're just saying.
They're just saying they have to at
this
point.
They do.
Because the AT&T Pro-Am, which by the way was at one time like one of the.
Oh yeah.
It was like the Farmers Insurance level of like people go there to play, and plus it's Pebble Beach. So.
Exactly. Yeah.
And now it's becoming comparable to the PGA Tour tournaments that go on during the WGCs.
Mm.
Such a low level field. I mean, I'm surprised with how many people are on that list, but what surprises me more is that Phil Mickelson is on that list.
Yeah.
How many years has he been playing the AT&T Pro-Am? I mean,
quite a while.
Since it's got to be since it started or since 91 when he turned pro.
Yeah. So do you think he's doing it more for respect for Greg Norman? You think what a lot of these guys are doing, or you think it's all just money?
I don't think, and this might be a hot take.
Okay.
I don't think anyone has respect for Greg Norman.
Ooh.
I mean, Greg Norman is a money hungry.
That's true.
Sore loser.
Mm.
And he wants to spite the PGA Tour because he never got a green jacket. That's just my opinion.
Which, that's his fault. He never got a green jacket.
It is his fault, but I mean,
multiple times.
If you can spite, I mean, I and that is a real hot take, and it's probably pretty far out of left field.
Well,
like,
you might be in the bleachers.
I know. I definitely don't think I'm in the park. So that's just, I mean, that's just me spitballing here.
Right.
But I don't think anything the players do has anything to do with Greg Norman.
Okay.
I mean, if it does, I just have never heard a player talk about Greg the way
that's true.
They talk about Jack, Gary,
Arnold,
especially yeah. Arnold. Everybody loves Arnold.
Yeah.
But
which Lee Elder, hate to see, passed
yeah,
away.
Yeah, rest in peace to Lee Elder. Yeah. For those of you that don't know, he was the first African American to break the color barrier at the Masters. What was it, 1971? It was 71, 76, or 79, because I've seen those three dates a lot in the last week.
But, yeah, it's very sad to see, unfortunately.
But the good news is about well, there's no really good news about him passing, but he did.
1968.
I told you I have dyslexia.
Oh, my God.
He did at least, before he passed, get to get honored on the first tee at the Masters,
right,
which was just this past year. He was not able to take a swing, sadly, but he was honored, and it was, you know, a lot of tour pros showed up just to see that, because especially Tiger, you know, Tony Finau, the African Americans on tour, you know, they recognize what he did for the game of golf and for them.
Yeah.
And it's the same way people are going to look, you know, at Tiger at, you know, kind of getting that past that, that what's the barrier essentially,
right,
you know, of, and especially golf. I mean, golf especially has that barrier up automatically.
Oh, I agree. Yeah.
Because especially back in the 50s and 60s, it was rich white men.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and you know how that generation was. I mean, it was just it's just sad.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's not like that now, you know. But I think, you know, what Lee did and what Tiger, and it just, it set the pace. And it's a sad day, but he's no longer in pain. I know he wasn't. It wasn't like he was just old. He had some health issues.
Yeah, he was struggling.
Great job bringing that up, Chad. I completely forgot. I meant to mark it down on here. And
It's all good. And it's Lee Trevino's birthday today, too.
Oh, he plays the cut.
Dude, do you know what my favorite line or quote from him is? It's, if you're ever caught in a storm and are afraid of lightning, hold up a one iron. Even God can't hit a one iron.
He's got a point. Have you ever tried hitting a one iron?
No. I kind of want to, just to see how bad I would be at it.
I don't even know where you get a one iron.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know either.
I mean, I can barely hit my 3-iron, so I would hate to see how it goes with a 2-iron or even, you know, a 1-iron.
Right,
so.
Yeah.
But we're on to the biggest news of the last 2 weeks.
You guys already know, could probably take a guess who we're going to talk about.
Who is it, Chat?
Well, it's one of two people. We've already mentioned Jordan Spieth's name, so.
Yeah, and fun fact about Jordan Spieth real quick before we dive in. Turns out Annie, his wife, had to force him to play the Hero World Challenge this week.
Aww.
Because, you know, he didn't want to leave baby Sam.
That's adorable.
Yeah.
That's why we love Jordan.
Yeah, the man just.
A family guy.
I love it.
That's
love
awesome.
It. He's going to go out and win, too, this week, and Annie's going to be like, I told you.
Yeah, then she's going to show up with Sammy.
I hope she.
Dude, that'd be adorable.
I hope she does.
I doubt it. He's
pretty young.
Really young. Yeah. I don't know if he wants to get on a plane. But yeah, so we're talking about Tiger this week. I mean, as every week, but
this
still.
Week especially because we actually have something to talk about other than how great he was.
Yep.
This week Tiger had his first press conference since February 23rd, the day before the accident.
Yeah.
So Hero World Challenge is sponsored by the TGR Foundation.
Yep.
Or TGR. Yeah, I'm on it.
You're good.
Don't
even
question
it. You're solid.
And so obviously it was kind of up in the air whether he would even make an appearance or do anything. But against kind of all odds, I don't think anybody expected him to be walking as smoothly as he is currently. Yeah. He did an interview with Dan Rappaport's or Golf Digest, Dan Rappaport, and basically talked about everything.
Yeah, he laid it all out on the table.
And
which, look, I was kind of shocked.
It's unlike Tiger.
I didn't expect a ton from him. You know, I knew they'd ask the question, when do you expect to be back? You know, and he'd probably say, oh, you know, we're just making progress. You know, we'll get there someday. I don't know when it's going to be. And he didn't give a specific date. He doesn't know. I mean, I figured he's taking it day by day. And he's starting to realize that he can't play at a, or perform or play or practice at a pace as he used to, especially now. Bunch of screws and bolts in his ankle. Mm-hmm. And he did mention amputation was on the table whenever the accident happened, which is wild.
It's crazy. I mean, you saw the accident. He is definitely lucky to be alive.
For sure.
But I think my main takeaway from that interview was it was golf is on his mind. It's ingrained in his.
I mean, it's his life.
It's all it is.
Yeah.
It's all his life. But now he's realizing, and I saw a tweet about this, and it said the difference between the Tiger before the accident and the Tiger after is any injury he had was self-inflicted, most likely for the sport of golf, except for that little Navy SEAL stint he did, which that's a whole other story.
Yeah.
Watch the HBO doc. But this injury was an accident, and it was life-threatening, and I think it really made him kind of see the world and realize, like, okay, my only goal now is to be there with his kids. And he's finally back to, I mean, I'm sure he's doing hours of rehab and everything, but he's finally back to golfing with Charlie.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that means he's golfing or he's maybe.
He said right now he can go around and, you know, play a hit and giggle game. That's what he says. Say he loves to do. He's like, I'm definitely not ready for competition at all. So, I mean, he's probably just taking Charlie in his golf cart, you know, riding around and helping him out more than he's playing, which is great.
And he even went into detail about Charlie. I mean, he was talking about, you know, in the beginning of the summer, he was getting angry.
Right.
And he's,
which is natural.
Yeah. Well, of course.
Golf is very
frustrating. Also like 12 or 13. I had no control over my emotions.
Right.
But he also said, what I told him is it doesn't matter how mad you get, but you should want to perfect the next shot as bad as you want to breathe, or something along those lines. And I think he's really going to fall in love with helping Charlie.
I agree.
And go ahead.
Cause we saw the Tiger doc, you know, his dad was kind of difficult on him, on the course and even outside of the golf course. And he's definitely learned some things from his dad, how he had taught him, and he wants to teach Charlie the right way, and that's to enjoy the game more than anything. Because we saw after Tiger's comeback, you know, like whenever he played with Kevin Na at the Players on hole 17, whenever Kevin Na walked it in, he just started laughing.
And then
Tiger did the
him,
same thing. Like, that was not him before his comeback. And we, as big golf fans, just love to see that he's enjoying himself out there. You know, he's
human.
Yeah. Cause he knows he's not going to be here forever. It's kind of hit him. You know, he's not going to be able to keep up with these guys for a ton longer. And he's realized, okay, there's more to golf than just competing and trying to win every single weekend. You know, I just want to have fun and do it for me. You know,
exactly. And you know what? Tiger doesn't owe us a thing. Exactly. He doesn't have to play another professional golf tournament. And
we would all understand.
Yeah. We want him to.
Yeah. But I mean, we just don't want to see a legend, you know.
Go away.
Go away.
It's the same way when LeBron retires.
Exactly.
But it is, it's really nice to see, you know, him taking pride. He's going to Sam's soccer games too, you know. Yeah. He's just being a dad.
Which is great, yeah.
And apparently, you know, from that interview too, he hangs out with, you know, Justin Thomas and his family, and they're very close. And it's that is not the Tiger that we knew in 2004.
Right.
Tiger didn't have friends.
Yeah.
Tiger didn't hang out with people.
No.
He worked out, he practiced, and he won.
Yeah.
And the one, I think that's Tiger being like that, you know, that's why he won. But we'll never see a player be like that again because the way Earl raised him, I just, you're never going to get another Tiger.
Right.
You never are. You never are. So, but that's the big news. You know, he basically, you know, in the grand scheme of things, his overall comment on everything was, you know, I'm making progress. I'm never going to play a full-time schedule again. Mm-hmm. Pick and choose 6-7 tournaments.
Which is expected.
Which is what I feel like he should have been doing prior. But at the same time, I can't really, you know, hindsight's 20/20. He still won the Masters, the Zozo, and the Tour Championship.
Right.
So whatever he was doing something right. But yeah, it's sad. But Tiger, he just needs to be happy. And if he's around golf, he's always going to be around golf.
Yeah.
But I'm very excited to see kind of what happens. We know he's going to play another professional golf tournament.
Yeah.
And it may, and I say that with 100% confidence.
Yeah.
Because he's going to come back and play a major, whether it's the Masters. I know the RNA tweeted out at him and said, we would love to have you for the 2022 Open, which is at St. Andrews, which quote unquote is Tiger's favorite golf course in the world.
Wow. That'd be kind of cool.
I'd cry. Yeah. I would for real cry.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of, you know, moving pieces. There's a lot of unknowns. The other question that came up, and this is not in the Golf Digest interview. This was in the press conference for the Hero World Challenge.
Okay.
Which I didn't expect it to come up in the Golf Digest, but I did expect it to come up. And then they didn't really touch on it much. But they asked what happened, you know, what's the last thing you remember before the accident? And Tiger's quote was, it's all in the police report. You can find it there. And nobody asked anything else. And I tweeted when I saw that, like they quoted that from the press conference, and I quoted the tweet and I said, we kind of deserve to know. And I got home and Grant was like, I don't agree with that tweet.
I don't agree with it either, honestly.
All right, let's hear it.
It's just, some things, whether it's bad or not, we don't know what happened that day, specifically, but some things you just don't have to share with the world. And just because he's such a big part of golf doesn't mean we have to know. He's still human, like you mentioned before, still has a life, and you never know, that might end up ruining his if he gave us the full thing, you know. But I don't know.
So
that's my take.
Here's my rebuttal.
Okay.
So one, I can promise you whatever happened before the accident or to cause the accident would not ruin his life just because of past
I'm not saying it would, but it may, you know, you never know how extreme.
Right. But I don't think that would be the worry. I just think as the public, I mean, he easily could have killed someone. I think we deserve to know why he was going 85 and a 30. I mean,
yeah,
someone could have died. And I just think, I don't know if police reports are public record or not. I know some things with the police department are, some things aren't. So I don't know where that kind of falls in.
Yeah, I mean.
But if he wasn't under the influence and he was just in a hurry, I mean, it's not life ending. I think, but I just think we deserve to know. And
yeah.
I don't have, you know, I'm standing on a stack of uneven rocks right now because I don't have a great argument, but that's where I stand.
That's fine. You're entitled to your own opinion. I totally understand where you're coming from. So, I mean, it's just we don't know and we may never know. I'm fine with it. It's not, I mean, I don't want to be like the paparazzi and have to know every single little detail of everybody's lives, you know? Everybody has their own private thing. So it's not a big deal to me. And
let me reiterate to our listeners, it's not a huge deal to me.
I know it's not.
You're
just curious.
I'm curious. Yeah. I'm a big fan. And, you know, he's already got a DUI. What's one more?
Oh, my. Hank.
I'm sorry. I'm just saying.
Hank.
Oh, man. I don't mean that, by the way. I do not mean that.
Moving on to, so we hope to see Tiger play again. But sticking with the Hero World Challenge, you want to go to picks?
I do. I wanted to ask you.
Oh, okay.
We can make picks for this tournament, but since it's not a regular PGA Tour event, I don't think it should count for the record.
Okay. We'll just make the picks for fun.
Okay.
That's fine.
Perfect. I just
yeah, I was actually going to talk to you about that beforehand, but I didn't. I forgot. So I just figured we were going on with our normal routine. But yeah. All
right, 3-4.
There are a lot of big names this week.
And Cheddarbug, you get first pick since you got lucky.
I say a lot of big names, but the field's very small. Anyway.
Do we want to do 3 picks instead of 5?
Let's do 3.
Okay. Okay. You heard it here first, folks.
Foist. You heard it here foist.
First.
I'm going to go with Jordan Spieth.
Yeah, of course. I'm going to go with my tried and true, one of my favorite guys coming up. Well, he's not really coming up. He's got a couple tournament wins. But I'm going to go with old Victor Hovland.
Okay. Respect that. Respect it. My second pick. I'm going to go Colin Morikawa.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, solid. Yeah.
That's a good pick. Let's see. I'm going to go with kind of a probably a shocker here, Harris English.
Okay. Let me ask you this, since this isn't a traditional tournament, how about for the third picks, we pick each other's?
Okay.
You like that?
I like it. I like it a lot.
Okay. So for you, I'm going to go with Terrell Hatton.
Yeah, I knew it.
The hothead.
Terrell. Why isn't it pronounced Tyrell? That's all I want to know. Anyhow, for Cheddarbug, my pick is going to be someone who has not been trending well.
Oh, I know you're going to pick.
Brooks Koepka.
Oh, that's not who I was going to pick.
You thought Bryson?
No, I thought it was Henrik Stenson.
Oh, I didn't even know he's...
Oh, too late.
Is he getting... I didn't even think he would get the invite. I mean, where's he been the last 4 years?
Exactly. European Tour.
Pretty much. He's still the only guy who can truly pull off the Hugo Boss wear.
Oh, yeah. In those shades, dude.
Got stud.
Oh, yeah.
He's just a stud.
Absolute beast.
Nobody should look that good.
Exactly.
It's like, dude, you're golfing.
Honestly, Martin Keimer pulls it off, too.
Yeah. Well, they're like basically interchangeable at this point. They look the same. True. They're both German, although I don't think they're actually both German. But they both have German names.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Yeah.
So, folks, that is the Muni Pros podcast. As always, I'm Henry Bourne alongside my good friend.
I'm Chad Jamison.
And we will be back next week to dive into everything. But until then, everybody be safe and enjoy the rest of your week.
Yep, have a good one.